Good evening, everybody. It is October 20th, 2014, 6:30 p.m., and I am calling to order our City Council meeting. I'd like everybody to stand, although it is your choice. You don't have to, but you may stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. And stay standing, please, because we have three students from Grover Heights Elementary School who are going to lead the flag salute tonight. Would you three like to come forward? And I'm going to say a little bit about each of you. Ayumi Smallwood is a sixth grade student, and I believe she's done this before. Is that right, Ayumi? And she likes the challenge posed by each field of study. She says that it's the achievement and being recognized for that achievement that she likes most about school. Ayumi also likes the weather on the Central Coast, and her interests are computer repair and observing political campaigns. Well, you've got your hands full. Adelina Andrade is a third grade student, and she likes learning new things, especially the engineering design process. And also, we have Amber James, and we're going to get her. She's coming a little bit later, so we will have a certificate for Amber also. That'll be coming a little later. Back to Adelina. She enjoys going to the beach, and in college, she would like to study to be a teacher and eventually teach third grade. Are you in third grade, Adelina?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Both teachers are accompanied, or both, all three students, I believe, are accompanied this evening by their principal, Susan Kesselring. Where's Susan? Are you out there? She's not here. What about parents? Are there other family members? Oh, there they are. Good. Aha. Oh, gosh. Okay, I know who all of you are. Great. And the teacher. So any of you who like can at any point come forward and take photographs, feel free to do that, and that's going to apply to the next group of kids we have coming forward as well. So ladies, would you like to lead us in the salute?
So happily honored to do the flag salute. Great. So please put your hand over your right heart. I mean, put your right hand over your heart and salute with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was great. So come forward now because we have some things for you. What I want you to do is to shake everybody's hand. And I've only got two certificates, but we will get that third one. And I've only got two little homework presents, but again, we'll get another one. So come on forward. And if you want to start up there and shake everybody's hand and then work your way down, and then we'll get a photo.
Very nice job.
Good job. Come back here and we'll get your photo.
You're an excellent public speaker.
Hi there.
Yes, you are.
Good job. Hi, honey. You're really cute.
Let's all scoot in here.
Okay. Hi, honey. Thanks for being here.
I know you're dead. There
you go. And here we do the balance. What I'm going to do is, these belong to you too, but we're going to give them to you so you have something to hold.
Oh, no.
Requests for or makes announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day, and the council will by motion adopt the agenda as presented or revised. Do any of staff or the council have any changes?
None.
Okay, thank you.
I move that we accept the agenda as published.
I'll second that.
Moved by Councilmember Nichols, seconded by Councilmember Bright. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That was unanimous. So we're going to move now to the ceremonial, and this is a special night because we've had two groups of kids, and of course you're all welcome to stay for the whole meeting. It should be a short one this evening. We hope you will stay. And tonight we have a proclamation in support of the Children's Bill of Rights for the San Luis Obispo County, or for San Luis Obispo County, and Susan Hughes, the executive director, who's retiring, I believe, in a week or two soon, is going to be accepting that. She works with First Five of San Luis Obispo County, and she has been the executive director, oh my goodness, since 1999. That's over 15 years. You didn't know this was coming. Well, Susan's a Grover Beach resident, and so we really wanted to say thank you to Susan for all that you've done for the children in the county. We're very grateful, and you've spearheaded the project, particularly the Children's Bill of Rights as part of the local commission's strategic plan. And it's considered a three-year journey to creation and implementation. So are we in, what year are we in now? of the three-year journey? Two? Three? Four? Three. Okay, great. And Susan's been the only executive director for the SLO County since the first fives were established across the state as a result of Prop 10, which was the tobacco tax. So I'm not sure. I guess we're going to read this, and then you'll come forward and say, have some words for us, or a whole bunch of people will. Okay, so when you come forward, tell me who you are, but I believe I know some of the folks who are here. We have Kiana Maddie. Okay, there she is. It looks like you have trick-or-treat bags for us. Mm-hmm. And Misty Nivensgood. Is Misty? Lightman Good. Misty Lightman Good. That's a good name. Who's the Communications Outreach Officer. And then we have Keenan Wells, who's the United Way Youth Board Member. Are you? I thought you might be Keenan. Okay. And then we also have, do we have a Maddie Gonzalez? Did I get that right? Great. Okay. So, again, if you all want to do photos at any point, but we'll go ahead and we'll read this now. And in fact, why don't all of you come forward and I'll read it and I'll step out here. And that way, anybody who wants to get photos like Mr. Hughes has plenty of time. So this is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring support for the Children's Bill of Rights for San Luis Obispo County. You guys scooch in a little closer so they can get a good photo, okay? Whereas a community, we believe that all children and youth have the right to a better world than the one they inherited and the right to live in a just, trustworthy, and supportive society. And whereas First Five San Luis Obispo County, with input from numerous agencies, organizations, community members, and youth, has developed a Children's Bill of Rights for San Luis Obispo County with the goal of making our children our highest priority. And whereas we resolve to support all children and youth so that they may each, number one, live in a stable, comfortable home surrounded by parents, family, and other caring adults who nurture them throughout childhood. Number two, eat healthy and plentiful meals every day. Number three, have the basics for daily life, clothing, transportation, and supplies for school, outside interests and activities. Number four, be and feel safe everywhere they go. Number five, enjoy daily physical activity and time outdoors. Six, visit a doctor, dentist, or counselor when needed to help them stay physically and mentally healthy. Seven, learn and master ideas and skills in and out of school that inspire them, help them understand and be ready for their place in the world. Number eight, explore a variety of experiences that illuminate the world's natural beauty, richness, and human creativity, arts, nature, culture, music. Number nine, make and keep healthy relationships with friends. 10, know that adults and peers listen, respect, and support them as individuals while they grow their diverse cultures, backgrounds, circumstances, talents, sparks, and passions. Number 11, have opportunities to contribute in meaningful ways to their community by voicing their ideas, sharing in decisions, and offering service to others. And finally, number 12, be encouraged to dream big, to grow through challenge and mistakes, and to always live with hope and aspiration. I think that's supposed to be inspiration. Or is it aspiration? Anyway. Really close. Have the council back. Have the council come back out too, maybe. Susan, we should have, I think we should be in this photo. Yeah, definitely. So scooch in a little closer. I know it seems a little bizarre. And I'm going to hand you that. Okay. All right, I think we're posed. Okay.
Good evening, I'm Keenan Wells from San Luis, as you know. this day with Maddie and Kiana Gonzalez, and we'd like to thank all the council for this recognition of the Children's Bill of Rights, and thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Now, I think there's maybe someone I didn't mention, the gentleman with the camera. Yeah, I don't think I said who you were.
I'm Keenan's father, and I also work for First Five.
Oh, great.
I'm Jason Wells.
Jason Wells, Keenan's dad, works for First Five. Is that super? Well, thank you so much. If you want to bring that up, we'll see if we can make it look prominent somewhere. And especially thank you to Susan for all your work. We're glad you're retired. Now you can do more in the community. More in the community.
Yeah. Thank you for all your kind words. That was truly a surprise, but it's much appreciated.
Susan, I don't know if you all could hear that. Susan said, thanks for our kind words. It was a surprise. I have to tell you that although I did know you were retiring, it really was your communications specialist who made this happen tonight. Yeah, so we sneaked it in. So we also have a proclamation declaring the week of October 23rd to 31st as Red Ribbon Week, and the chief will be accepting the proclamation. Is there anyone else here for Red Ribbon Week? No? Okay. I'm asking Councilmember Bright to do this one because she did a lot of work with kids at Grover Heights.
And I love saying red ribbon over and over again. So this is a proclamation of the City Council of Grover Beach declaring the week of October 23rd through October 31st as Red Ribbon Week in the City of Grover Beach. Whereas tobacco, alcohol, and other drug use and abuse represents a serious public health and safety threat in our city, our county, state, and throughout the United States. And whereas it is important for communities, schools, and individuals throughout San Luis Obispo County to work together to eliminate the demand for these substances and to promote programs that support commitment to a healthy drug-free lifestyle. And whereas the Red Ribbon celebration will be observed across the United States during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through 31st, 2014. Whereas parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, service organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this observance. And whereas Red Ribbon Week highlights local substance abuse prevention programs that involve youth and parents yearly, through local community coalitions and numerous countywide organizations, and also recognizes this year's theme, Love Yourself, Be Drug-Free. The City of Grover Beach further commits resources to help the success of the Red Ribbon Celebration and year-round tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention efforts. And whereas Red Ribbon Week 2014 will be highlighted by all three elementary schools in Grover Beach. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach hereby declares October 23rd through 31st, 2014 as Red Ribbon Week and encourages all citizens to participate in alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention activities, making a visible commitment to a healthy community in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth. Be it further resolved that the Grover Beach City Council encourages all community members to follow the Red Ribbon Pledge, no use of illegal drugs, and no illegal use of legal drugs. That was tough. But
thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. I am pleased to introduce two new staff members who joined the Department of Public Works. I'll bring them up. Joseph Gustry and Adrian Arguez.
Arguez.
I got that right, Adrian?
Yes.
Tell them for me, too. Adrian Arguez joined the city on April 29th as a maintenance worker one. Adrian brings skills in maintenance and construction to our crew and is already proven to be a valuable member. Santa Maria, and I understand that he recently adopted a new Labrador Retriever puppy. I want to warn him right now that his experience as an children, and on and on, so beware. Joseph is our newest addition to Public Works. Joseph, you're on the right. Joseph joined the city on September 23rd, also as a maintenance worker one. He grew up in Tennessee and is the father of a four-month-old baby girl, Mackenzie. Joseph also brings background and skills in maintenance and construction to our Public Works team. I think we're very fortunate to have these two young gentlemen join the city. And with that, I'll turn it over to them if they have anything they'd like to say.
Thank you.
I would just like to thank the city of Grover Beach and everybody here for giving me the opportunity to come to work every day and enjoy what I'm, enjoy what I'm doing. Thank you.
I, too, would like to thank the city for just giving me the opportunity to be employed for the city of Grover Beach, and just really enjoy day-to-day so far working here, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anybody want to make any comments? Any comments? And we're very grateful to have you both here. The Public Works Department are the ones that the public very often sees first and sees out there on the street, and you guys always do a great job, and we appreciate that, and we know you have been overworked, so hopefully this will be a start to being less overworked. Thank you. Next on the agenda is presentations, and we have another excellent institution in our community. We have a status report regarding the Arroyo Grande Community Hospital, and that's going to be presented by Ken Dalebout, the Arroyo Grande Hospital CEO.
So thank you for the opportunity to present to the council and to the mayor. I'm Ken Dalebout, the Chief Operating Officer of the Arroyo Grande Community Hospital. I also have with me tonight Montisa Fina Lopez, our Vice President of Philanthropy, who runs our foundation, who we are very grateful for the support that the foundation gives to the hospital and what we've been able to do because of those philanthropic funds that are raised. And it's going to play a big part in the future of the hospital, too. So I'd like to give a report of kind of who the hospital is, to assume that everybody knows where the hospital came from, what we do, and then what our future plans are. So the hospital, Arroyo Grande Community Hospital, is part of a larger organization called Dignity Health, founded in 1986 by two women religious organizations, originally called Catholic Healthcare West. Now operates 40 hospitals in three states, predominantly in California, but also Arizona and Nevada. The organization is governed. We run by a mission statement, which is characterized by continuing the healing ministry of Jesus. Three parts: to deliver compassionate, quality health care, to advocate for those in the community that can't advocate for themselves, the disenfranchised. And we do that by partnering with others in the community to improve the entire quality of life. We also govern ourselves and try to make decisions using five core values, one of which is dignity, which we've taken on as the name of the company. These are real, and we try to live these in all the decisions that we make. You've also potentially recently heard about a movement that we are starting, Hella Human Kindness, really to emphasize the healing power of humanity, that we, by who we are, can help the health and quality of life of others. You'll see this in our marketing, but we really try to talk about human kindness beyond just marketing. It's who we're trying to be and trying to spread that beyond just the walls of the hospital. Here on the Central Coast, Arroyo Grande Community Hospital does not stand alone. It's also part of a network here on the Central Coast. It's cornered, really, foundation is the three hospitals of Dignity Health: Arroyo Grande Community Hospital, French Hospital Medical Center in San Luis Obispo, and then Marion Regional Medical Center in Santa Maria took over the ownership and operation of the hospital. And I'll just say that in the last 10 years, the hospital has seen dramatic changes. I often hear that if you haven't been to the hospital in the last couple of years, you really don't know what you're talking about in terms of what the hospital is doing, which I see on a daily basis. The hospital is a not-for-profit community hospital. Through its affiliation and with Dignity Health and the core or the roots of us, Dignity Health being a Catholic institution, we follow the Catholic tradition of healthcare and those things that go with that, the dignity of life. It's governed by a document we call the Statement of Common Values, which outlines that in more details. We are jointly licensed with Marion Regional Medical Center in Santa Maria. And then just the connection to Grover Beach. 11% of our employees are Grover Beach residents, and then fluctuates, but currently 18% of our admissions, so those patients that are seen in the hospital, have an address of record from Grover Beach. So we, from a standpoint, Grover Beach is very much part of who we think we serve and why we're here, part of our mission. This is the members of our community board. Some of those names might be recognizable. One, I think everybody knows, is Terry Fiebig, who continues to serve on the board. And there's some other names up there that are prominent. So we're proud of our community involvement, both on what we serve, but also those that are involved with the hospital. This is what we're really good at. Emergency services. We are a base station for the San Luis Obispo County Emergency Services Agency. We annually see more patients than all but Twin Cities up in the north. We see more patients than the other two hospitals, more than the trauma-designated hospital in San Luis Obispo. It's a busy ER. The nice thing about it, though, is 91% of those emergency patients come from our geography, from San Luis Obispo or North Santa Barbara County. So the emergency services is not there for, although we're grateful for those that come from out of town to visit our cities, these are really our residents, our neighbors, our friends that we're taking care of. Some of the things that we're very good at, we're ranked in the top 10% nationally in terms of orthopedic surgery outcomes. We also have great general surgery services. The general surgeons are the same surgeons that practice in San Luis Obispo at the other two hospitals. We have an acute rehab unit, which is the only unit of its kind on the Central Coast between Santa Barbara and Salinas. And then we have the full array of other general acute and then also outpatient services at the hospital. Some of our awards. We are a comprehensive community cancer center accredited by the Commission on Cancer. We have received for the last 3 years the Excellence in Joint Replacement Award by HealthGrades, which is an independent rating agency. They also have ranked us in the top 10% nationally in outcomes. And then a litany of other awards for joint replacement and other surgical procedures. Then down at the bottom, there's an A rating for hospital safety by the Leapfrog Group. Once again, Leapfrog Group is an independent rating agency, and they rate hospitals for their safety and critical care capabilities A through F. In the last 2 years, we have received the A rating. So quite proud of the safety record of the hospital. So I'm going to talk about quality. I apologize for the small print. Medicare, or CMS, dictates certain quality measures that we must track and report. And these are from the latest report. This is from July of this year to October. And if you notice in the middle column, this is our current performance, and you see 100% until we get down to the bottom, which are all in the 90s or 79. This one is a little red dot, means we're not meeting our target. This is 79%, and the target's 80%. And that's for timeliness of being seen in the ER. But all the 100%, meaning we're getting 100% of what we're asked to track. An incredible performance. And then we're a little competitive between inside Dignity Health. So sometimes we rank ourselves. This is where we are in terms of improvement, and this is where we are in terms of actual score. in Oro Grande community is in that quadrant where we're supposed to be, up in that top right. So these others are the Dignity Health Hospitals and where they're ranking in that continuum. So we're doing really well in terms of quality. And then what do people say about us in terms of their experience? Pain, 84%. Very satisfied with my emergency room care, 89%. So 9 out of 10 people say they were very satisfied when they came through the emergency room. And last, satisfaction with overall surgical experience for the last 3 months, 100% people said, I am very, very satisfied with my overall care and surgery. And just that last one, same thing. Within Dignity Health right now, our surgical suite ranks number one within those 40 hospitals that comprise Dignity Health. So our quality scores are there. People are very satisfied with their experience as they come through the hospital. So I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to do in the future. This is exciting. In the near term, in fact, construction will probably start the week after next on new entryway to the hospital. This is something that we've kind of suffered under. Our lobbies have doors that open directly onto the outside air. And with some of the cold days, 2 years ago we recorded temperatures, unfortunately, in like the high 40s and 50s inside our lobby. So we're going to correct that. And so in the next 2 weeks, you'll see a new entryway to both sides of the hospital, the main entrance and the emergency room. In addition to that, our emergency room performs exceptionally well. We typically see between 60 and 70 patients a day. And at that rate, you will be in front of a physician. 80% of people are within 20 minutes in front of a physician. When we get to 80 and 90, that wait balloons to 2 to 3 hours, just because there's no place to put people inside the emergency room. So we're currently in the planning phase of expanding the emergency room to add about 5,000 square feet. So we'll double the size of the emergency room. We'll add 9 new private exam rooms. We'll renovate the existing space to all private facilities. We'll improve our triage system so patients get in even faster. We're also excited about creating a hospitality or vending machine suite or area in the front lobby, because after hours there's really, unfortunately, no place to get anything to eat in the hospital. So we're excited about that. That'll be part of a capital campaign that the foundation will be leading for us. So when that's all done, this is pictures worth 1,000 words, but this is maybe a little messy, but we'll have all new space here, and then all this existing space will be renovated to be all private rooms for the ED. Excited about that. In addition to the emergency room, this is the floor plan of the backside of the hospital. We hope to add new space to the acute rehab in the next 2 to 4 years. We started the acute rehab unit as a 14-bed unit. And within 2 years, we've had to expand that to 20 beds just because of capacity. We're looking to expand additional beds for that unit. But more importantly than that is we expanded the number of beds, but we didn't expand the rehab space, the therapy space. And so we have crowded gym, and we have therapists doing therapies in rooms that were not intended to be used for therapy when we first started. And so we're excited to expand on this service for the community. Like I said, this is the only one hospital-based acute rehabilitation unit between Santa Barbara and Salinas. And then last on our improvement list is a new MRI. Our current MRI is a workhorse. It's done great, but it has some age on it, and technology has improved. We will put that in a space adjacent or in the hospital, so it no longer will be in a trailer, and the technology will be much more friendly to those that have claustrophobia and other issues. A quieter machine, and now that the technology is such that it'll have higher resolution and greater diagnostic powers. Those are exciting things. Some of the I wanted to touch base to just on the foundation. It's there to support the hospital, and it's done a magnificent job. some of the things in the past that it's done, before I get there, these are our board members. Some of those names are also recognizable as community leaders. Some of the things that we've done in the past to upgrade the hospital, in 2008-2009, the foundation raised $1.6 million to create our cancer center. $75,000 was raised by the employees of the foundation to create a beautiful outdoor healing garden. We have raised $350,000 for operating technology. And then in this last year, another three...
Council to let us know about the hospital and what services you provide, how you do it, and so on and so forth. I commend you for coming forward. I think it's something that should... I'd like to see it happen every couple of years. I think it would be very mm-hmm. beneficial.
Would gladly do so.
Thank you. And I do have one question, if it's not too involved.
Okay.
I don't want to get involved. But you mentioned that you are licensed with Miriam Medical Center.
Correct.
I'm not sure I follow that. Licensed with them. What?
So it's the state issues a license to operate the hospital. And so... we're characterized actually as one hospital with two campuses. And the reason for that, I can explain, is there's a formula that goes into how hospitals are reimbursed for federal programs. And because of the formula that is created by combining the two hospitals into one hospital, the reimbursement, what the hospital gets paid for seeing those same patients, is just better. And so it's okay. A financial benefit to Arroyo Grande Community Hospital by being jointly licensed with Marion Regional.
Mm. Okay, thank you very much.
So, Ace, I'd like to express my thanks as well for coming forward, and I'll be one of those ones. My wife and I have visited your emergency room on occasion, and 15 years ago to today is a vast improvement and definitely good work with regards to that.
Yep.
So, and not trying to get political or anything with regards to that, but with expansion of the emergency room facility, is that a kind of a potential reflection of seeing more people in association with the Affordable Care Act, or are you just seeing higher numbers coming forward? So, and again, not trying to get into a long, protracted discussion that we could be here for days, and that's not my intent.
Yeah, no. So some of the reason why it's needed, the existing floor plan, emergency room was built in 1986. Mm-hmm. The population of the South County, five cities areas at that time was in 45,000, give or take. We now are at 80,000, mm-hmm. and wow. the footprint just isn't large enough to serve that population.
Okay.
The hospital has grown, and I will say this year, our emergency room volume is up about 8% over last year, so it is growing.
Okay. Thank you.
So I have to ask, when you say 80,000, do you mean Napomo also?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions down here? Comments? No? Okay.
Good.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
That's great. So we're now at the public communications, but before we go into public communications, I wanted to introduce a few people because we have out in the audience, we have school board member and chair of our Parks and Rec Commission, Dee Santos. Thank you for coming tonight. See a couple of businesses represented. Dr. Dan from Beacon Chiropractic, and then also our new coffee folks, the Grover Grind from 3rd and Grand. We're glad you're here tonight. You must have needed some coffee to get here this late. and then also Miriam Shaw, who's our council member-elect. So glad to have you all here this evening. And public communications is the time at which any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. And we will listen to all communications, but in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. So if you'd like to come forward, I'm going to open public comment, and you're welcome to come forward and speak. If you could give us your name and your city of residence. Thanks.
Good evening, Council. My name is Brad Snook from Surf Rider. I guess we all feel better about taking up skateboarding now. I got the report from the hospital, so we're all going to do it. Just wanted to come out and say that Surf Rider does not support candidates but I wanted to come out and gush on Mayor Peterson as much as possible without going over that boundary line, because the mayor has made a huge difference on what's happened in the South Coast Sanitation District over the last couple years. The mayor turned the South County Sanitation District from one of conflicts of interest to one of a normal organization that people can look at the organizational structure and say, you know what, this makes sense. I understand what the business of the sanitation district is. I understand that the people that work there and the people that represent the community of Grover Beach, what they are doing on the sanitation district. And I hope what the mayor's leadership has done is it allowed the district to turn the corner, and so that the future is brighter for the district overall. We have many challenges moving forward. The district discharges over 2.5 million gallons a day of usable water into the ocean. We can use that water to get it done. Thank you.
Thank you. Did anybody else want to come forward?
I'm the most hated man in South County, but when you find a man 80 years old that feeds cattle and still in the business, and 75% of them are gone in this state and county. You know, I went to a trip over to Bakersfield for wholesale, because that's my hobby. That's what I do. And when I got 20 miles east of Paso, it looked like Death Valley out there. There's no water, there's no cattle, there's no vegetation. Bulldozing and trees down. You're lucky you live here along the coast. You're lucky you got the beach. You're lucky you got all the frills and thrills here. But when you get out there and you go back as far as Dayton, Ohio, or Virginia, or Kentucky, there ain't nothing. And so, talking about hospital, I could talk on that all night, because I've lived it. That's why I'm probably here, because the hospital somewhere saved my life. But as I'm coming across and I'm going across, I heard these people talking about the water situation and how the valley is drying up. Here it's not. But I got a green card that says I should cut my water down. My wife is an invalid. I have a lady come and cook. I have a lady take the washing out. And I get a card to shut the water down, and we'll build houses. You know, I don't understand. As I call it irresponsible, dysfunctional, incompetent. That I've been here 57 years, and I got to shut my water off now. I don't understand the politics. I stopped in at Couch's office the other day, and I asked him what he wanted there. But why don't we have a moratorium? We used to have that 30 years ago here. We stopped it. But someday, you guys are going to run out of water. And I'm going to be so happy, I'm going to jump up and down. Because I've said it for the last 40 years here. You don't have enough water. I got cattle out there. I got no feed. But I got 6 truck and trailer loads of hay. What if people ask me how in the hell I can do that? Well, I was in a depression. I remember pennies and nickels, my father. I remember stamps for coffee, sugar, gasoline, tires. So I told my granddaughters, go to college, get in the food business. Because if people not on dope and drugs, they got to eat. And that's why I'm here, is because people have to eat. But I got signs in my front yard. And they say no. My neighbor, she knows all about it. She gets a bird's eye view. Your buddy Schultz come down the street one day, and he was going to make a left turn in my yard, I guess, but no, he made a right turn because there was a blonde over there on the deck. I never did see. And so, I don't understand why you're going to vote for a guy like that, that for 2012, we had the doors shut here. We couldn't have any money. What? You know, I teach my family to make money and not to lose it and not to shut the doors. I don't get that. And then there's caps. When I needed to pay and the farm program was signed, I called her. Nobody home. Her office was closed.
I'm going to have to ask you to wind up.
Out of the hospital, she calls and tells me she has too many clients. She doesn't have clients. She's old. She needs to get out. Because I had to call the Secretary of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. to get money to feed my cattle. And you know what? I couldn't get it because I had a living trust. That's how dysfunctional these politicians are. And it's just like, remember the water situation? Remember the meters? Remember how...
We've got to have you wind up now.
You know, I got a letter here. Mm-hmm. And for those people that think that their pension's going to last, mine is in critical condition. So when I went to the courthouse the other day, and I had him to figure it out, Mr. Nichols is wrong. I'm going to pay a lot more than what you think you're going to pay. Because you're not telling the people your false figures are not going to gel.
Thank you, Mr. Wysong. Anybody else want to come forward? And if you could tell us your name and your city of residence, thanks.
Hello, City Council. I'm Daniel Bronstein, Beacon Chiropractic. Office is on 9th and Grand. I'm following up with regards to the conversation we had last time about some of the vagrancy issues that we're witnessing in downtown Grover. I know I spoke to you guys about some issues that we were having specifically at my property. Last time I left, within maybe an hour of me being in this office or in this room, I had to call the police because we had a gentleman who was siphoning power off of my power supply in my office. It's right down the street. I'm also here, I guess, speaking on behalf of Jay Johnson. I know you guys have heard. We start to put something together with AG and Pismo. We need to. I'm starting to meet with a few folks from the City Council and Pismo to ask them what we can do to make some change here. If we, as Grover Beach folks, business owners, don't start to reach out to the greater community and make something happen, we're going to have some real serious problems here. So I'm going to be at this meeting every 2 weeks, and I'm going to continue to bring this issue to the front. And if you guys on the City Council can't make something happen, we're going to have some issues with the business owners here. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else want to come forward?
Santos, Grover Beach. I applaud what he just said. It's true. Us at the hair salon, we're all women. And there again, it's going to get dark sooner. We're afraid to go out by ourselves. And I talked with the Brennizer ladies, and they too. They were approached, their clients were approached, and they wanted money from their clients. And they're just getting more brazen. I know our police officers are out there, but we're just going to have to come together and do something more so. I don't know what the answer is, and Mary Lou won't get up and speak, but we did have another problem just a couple of days after that. Wednesday, the Thai restaurant, he went to go get the hose, I think it was, and there was a guy sleeping in there. He broke the lock. And so I don't want to know what the answer is, but we need to do something immediately. I mean, these are businesses that support Grover Beach. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to come forward? Okay, we'll close public comment. Staff, did you, anybody want to make any comment on any of the things that were brought up this evening?
Madam Mayor, relative to the homeless issue, basically we did give you a brief status report during the last meeting. Obviously, the officers are doing what they can. I, in fact, met with Mr. Johnson the day that did occur. At some point in the future, perhaps next month, we can provide you a more detailed status report, if it's the desire of the council, just to keep you updated on the progress that we're in fact making.
What about the other items that we had talked about in our last meeting? We had the issue of the police were suggesting working with the Regional Transit Authority to put some lights up in Ramona Park. Where are we on that?
The surveillance cameras will be coming forward. It will probably take a few weeks to do that. I know they're working out the final financing of the grants. The two other items that we did get direction to move forward with included the ordinance for the aggressive panhandling. Both the police department and the city attorney are working on that. probably will not be back to you before close to the end of the year. And the other ordinance that we're also working on is the permit issues relative to the parks. In other words, making recommendations to the council on how to permit large group activities that occur in the parks. And we're also working on that piece of legislation as well.
And then at the last meeting, we did the aggressive animals.
And that's on the agenda again tonight for the second reading. And
thank
that'll
you.
Be effective within 30 days.
All righty. And I, the Women's Council of Realtors, heard from Jan Marks in San Luis Obispo about some of the things that they're doing to work on that program. And I have been talking on behalf of some community members and businesses about some of those things, and those may come forward at a later date too, and I'm happy to talk with folks a little bit more about those a little bit later. But they do deal with panhandling, and although any one solution is not going to be enough, we'll need multiple solutions, but I think we may make some headway on that. We've been promised a donation of some parking meters to the city from the city of San Luis Obispo, so we may be able to do some things with that that they've done with some success. Any other council members want to comment on anything that was brought forward?
Jeff, you go ahead.
Thank you. I was basically just going to mention the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. We did have a meeting a couple weeks ago with regards to some additional items. This is almost a council committee report type of thing, but it's more along the lines of there is going to be a community action plan kind of coming forward with regards to what the coalition can do. But I think it's also a partnership, as Daniel mentioned. It's a government participation. It's a private business participation.
We just have a brief update.
That can be done.
Thank you.
Could you reiterate again the discussion about permits in the park? When is that coming forward?
That, again, is likely to be at the end of the year or the first of next year. It's complicated. We have a lot to take into account in terms of reviewing other ordinances that have of similar fashion, that we want to make sure that something is structured that's going to work. And it for the council's consideration, it has to be a permitting process that will apply across the board to any large group use of park areas.
Thank you.
Sorry, just to kind of piggyback on that, excuse me. So we did talk about bringing that back through the Parks and Rec Commission as well, right? So
that's correct.
Okay, so yeah, so it's going to start there, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Okay.
And I certainly would applaud you, Dan, in going to the other communities. I know when I met with Shelley Higginbotham and Tony Ferrara, and then with the city managers and the chiefs of police and the sheriff about 9 months ago, they were all very, very willing to be supportive. So we do definitely have a groundswell of support there. Okay, so we're now going to our consent agenda, and we have no public hearings. There is one item on the consent agenda, which is the consideration of the Traffic Committee's report recommending a 30-minute green parking zone along the west curb of South 3rd Street. And I live right there, so I would need to recuse myself, and I'm suggesting that perhaps we pull that one because we may have folks here for that anyway, and then I can recuse myself. Does that sound...
As far as pulling an item, that's obviously up to you or any of the council members. You do not need to, if there's no discussion on the consent agenda as a whole, there's no need for you to step down.
Okay.
The minutes will reflect the recusal on that one item.
Okay. Is there anybody else from the council who wants to pull anything on the consent agenda? Anybody from the public who specifically wanted to speak on any item on the consent agenda? Looks like we have one. Okay. Let's open it for public comment then on the consent agenda.
Members of the council, John Scholl, 1185, Vincent News Court. It's good to see everyone. The item that I specifically wanted to speak to is item number 10. and I wanted to speak in support of the staff recommendation. After reading the staff report and looking at the site, I think it makes a lot of sense. This is a business that is operating in a location where there is a bulb out in front of them, and there's a short link on 3rd Street that's in front of this business. And so I would hope that the council majority would support this recommendation and show that you are in support of businesses in this community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming forward. Anybody else want to speak on anything on the consent agenda? Okay, we'll close it to public comment. And it sounds like no one on the council wanted to pull anything, so we can accept a motion and we'll have a roll call vote. And
I'll go ahead and make a motion to adopt the consent calendar with the note that you need to recuse yourself on item 10.
Correct.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm. I'll second that. So we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lee, a second by Councilmember Bright. I will be voting, but I will not be voting on this particular item number 10. And could we have roll call, please?
Yes, with a comment that I appreciate the support from the Grover Beach Police Officers Association, and I agree that the approval of the green curb is a good thing.
Yes, and ditto.
Yes, no ditto.
Yes.
Yes, and I can't ditto. So that's unanimous with the exception of item number 10. It's 4-0, and I recused myself. Moving then to regular business, the next item, number 11 on the agenda, is the authorization to participate in a countywide hosting of Special Olympic athletes, and City Manager Perrault will be leading this. But before I go to that, I just wanted to say for the benefit of the audience is that it was approved to paint that curb green, so everybody knows. Okay. Sorry, Mayor. Who are you? City Manager. Excuse me.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'm here to recommend that the city participate in a countywide effort that is being generated to support the Special Olympics, World Games Special Olympics that are scheduled to be held in L.A. in the summer of 2015. Essentially what's going to take place is in July of 2015, approximately 7,000 Special Olympic athletes will be coming to Los Angeles, single delegation, and these delegations come in the size of about 100 individuals. But what the managers group has been doing is working on possibly jointly as a single community, the entire county sponsoring as a host community, per se. In light of that, we've been able to secure Cal Poly will provide the housing for the 3 days. Obviously, we'll provide the exercise facilities. We'll provide the breakfast meals. So what we're looking to do is participate along with our the other cities throughout the county in sponsoring what essentially will be a activity for a single portion of while these folks are here. And for example, in our case, it may be co-sponsoring with the city of Pismo Beach a bonfire on a given evening, and maybe a barbecue or some refreshments out there. And that's largely to be the extent of it. And maybe finding volunteers that will assist with putting that together and doing the actual assisting with the transportation back and forth. To that end, it's being recommended that the council authorize the city to participate, and also direct that the city will work with a committee that's being formed of other representatives from our surrounding communities to actually work out the details of the activities, et cetera. The advantages to the city will obviously providing the host as the host community will get to meet some of these individuals, which hopefully will provide a value in of itself. There's also a value as being listed as a host community with all of the material, and we'll also get to participate with the announcement of what the host of who the host community is. There'll be a large announcement scheduled probably in about 30 days. So the cost for this will be fairly minimal. It would be a little bit of staff time largely to participate. And we do believe we'll probably be successful in securing donations from service organizations and et cetera to actually underwrite the activity itself. So with that, staff's recommending that the council authorize the city to participate as a member of this larger host community, if you will. And that concludes my staff report, and I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions from people down at this end?
No question, but I do commend staff for bringing this issue forward. I think it's an excellent idea, and I appreciate it. It's something we haven't done in the past, and I certainly would be willing to participate in it to whatever extent I could. So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I like it. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's open it to the public and see if anyone has any comments. Any comments from the public? Okay, let's bring it back then.
So I'll make a motion if you're ready.
Sounds good.
Okay, make a motion that we authorize the city's participation in the Countywide Special Olympics World Games Host Town Program and direct staff to participate in the necessary organizing activities. Bless you.
I'll second that.
We have... a motion by Council Member Bright and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Lee. It's a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? None opposed. So that's carried unanimously. And we have no pulled consent agenda items. And so now we are moving to Council Committee reports. And it looks like Council Member Bright yet again gets to go first.
I am so lucky. Okay. I do have a few. So... I'll start with the APCD, or Air Pollution Control District meeting. Oh, it's my itinerary. Nobody cares about that. Okay, so it was so organized. What happened? Okay. Well, it was a very interesting meeting. The first item that was of interest to this council was consideration of participation in the LGC, the Local Government Commission's Civic Spark program, which would provide trained AmeriCorps members to assist local agencies for that first year. And then they will continue to look for long-term funding for the next 2 years in the event that it's successful and it's worthwhile. So, and I know that that our Public Works Director was in support of that as well. So then on to the other thing that was really very interesting, oops, thank you, was the air pollution, the air quality report for 2013. And I can't go through this whole thing, of course, and I'll fall asleep if I did. But you can find the full report at the APCD website, which is
slowcleanair.org.
Thank you. Thank you. If that's what it is, absolutely. But in summary, really, is that ozone levels were the fewest exceedance ever, and there is a downward trend. The NOx levels, there are no exceedances. Sulfur dioxide, the first federal exceedance ever, and that was due to a refinery maintenance issue at the Phillips Santa Maria Refinery. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the PM levels, higher average levels, and the most exceedances ever. So that is an issue. And the federal 24-hour PM 2.5 standard was exceeded three times, and that's for the first time ever. So there's issues there that have to be addressed. So then the last item was item 5. Let me just get there real quick first. No, that's it. That was item 5. Oh, the last thing are my notes that I can't seem to find right now. So, then the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. I know that you already talked about the reservoir plan, the low reservoir plan, but this is good news. And it is regarding the final billing adjustment for 2013-14. There's a credit estimated of $192,000 to be distributed with the January billing. So that's some good news.
That's Zone 3.
That's Zone 3, okay. Yes. Thank you. And I believe that is the end of my report.
Well, that's good news and bad news. And information. Interesting news. Councilmember or Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
So I just had one committee since our last meeting, and that's the Visit San Luis Obispo County. The complete update or the complete wrap-up on SAVOR will happen at the next monthly meeting. So after our the appropriate council meeting, I'll update you at that time. The other item was the Tourism Marketing District. That is still moving forward. There was a number of letters of support. I know the Economic Vitality Committee Commission supported that. And the next step is that the Visit San Luis Obispo folks are going to be going to each of the communities. They're starting with the larger communities, Paso, Pismo, San Luis Obispo, and then we'll be coming to us after that. They have more than 50% of the partners necessary at this point in support of that, so that once they move through the and I see the city attorney kind of scrunching his forehead. It's a matter of the hotels and the RV parks and those members that are going to get the tourism marketing percentage increase on TOT that are basically if more than 50% are in support of it, then it can move ultimately forward to the next step for final consideration by the Board of Supervisors, who are then the kind of the last.
Yes.
If you don't mind, a little bit of a correction with that is when it comes, it'll come back to each council individually, and each community will have the ability to determine whether it wants to participate or not, and then it'll go to the board.
Yeah, I apologize. I did say that incorrectly. It'll come to us for consideration before it goes to the board, and then at that point we'll have the opportunity to either opt in or opt out. So.
Thank you. And Councilmember Marshall?
Sure, I had two. As conflict of interest code brought forth by the district council. And there's some repair of the headwater. I think a few months ago I mentioned there was a leak at one of the headwaters to the main plant, one of the pipes to the main plant. And they're in the process of repairing that. And those are my items.
Thank you. Councilmember Nichols?
The Five Cities Fire Authority Board met last Friday, a special meeting for the purpose of interviewing the candidates for the fire chief position. The interviews went well, and we have made a selection, and we will have a special meeting this coming Friday, at which time I hope we will be able to, at that time, announce who the new fire chief is. We have made a job offer, but there are certain negotiations that have to take place before it's finalized. So I hopefully by this Friday we'll have an announcement.
And for me, the Economic Vitality Corporation meets on Wednesday, so I'll be back with some information after that. And the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, just one item that's been moving forward a little bit has been, I was approached by a member of the South County Advisory Committee and also by one of the members of the Oceano Community Services District, and we had a conversation about the sidewalk that runs from, I believe, about 4th Street on Highway 1 through to Grand Avenue, and especially now that we've got the train station and then we'll be expanding that south, and with the hotel, it becomes more critical that perhaps we look again or ask Caltrans to look again at that particular sidewalk to see if they would be willing to resurrect that as a safety issue, but also as a connector between the communities and the businesses in the communities. And so they spoke at, let's see, they went to the last San Luis Obispo Council of Governments meeting, and subsequently the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments will be agendizing that at their December meeting. We're in the process, I know the city manager is in the process of talking a little bit and getting some background on it, so that's something that may come forward at some later stage. And that's all I have on that. Council communications, anybody have any communications? No, it looked like Huckfest went really well. I didn't notice, I noticed a lot of noise up and down Grand Avenue, but nothing like the traffic problems we had before. And seems like everybody got together and really got it in order. So I was glad to see that. And if we don't have any comments here, then we're to the city manager for reports and comments.
Actually, a couple of things. One of the things that I wanted to report on is that you probably have seen some of the improvements at Ramona Garden Park. Essentially, the pergola has been restored and reconstructed. That's been completed. The building has been repainted. Just this past week, I think they got that finished. I wanted to let you know that the contractor that Mr. Clark had retained for getting started with Cleaver Park, he'd been delayed a bit with getting the benches ordered, but he's about ready to start now, is the latest information I have on that, is that actually they're in the process of pulling their encroachment permit, so we should see activity out there soon. And finally, Grover Heights Park, the bathroom that we've been trying to get started for a very long time, is actually out to bid now. So, and that is a reconstruction project, and that is grant funded. I wanted to pass that along with to you. I did meet with Digital West to seek a clarification regarding the 5.1% rate that they're to pay as far as the lease payment is concerned. And I just wanted to pass along that I did meet with Tim Williams last Thursday. His perspective is that the 5.1% applies to all service that is generated and paid within the city of Grover Beach, within the jurisdiction. He also, and I'll communicate this in more detail with you at a later date, but he indicated that he's really viewed this as an economic development partnership, and the reality is that in addition to, with the capital improvements that we're installing, they're actually going to be able to offer the rates at very discounted basis for an extended period of time.